Thank you very much. Very excited that the tattoo artist here is. I do work for Facebook. One of the things when you start at Facebook, you get to choose a tattoo. And so I have a lovely Mark Zuckerberg tramp stamp right here, which does need a touch up. All right. So, good morning. I am your American wake-up call. They put me at the 10 a.m. slot on purpose because I'm here to wake you up and talk about the very exciting topic of the brief. So, my name again is Ashley Vinson. I like to have a lot of toilet paper on hand at all times. Anyone love to have toilet paper on hand? Yes. Woo! Safety first, guys. In addition, I am a creative agency partner at Facebook here in Amsterdam for you Nederlanders. Ik woon hier voor 8 jaar now. And that's how I passed my motherfucking test. All right. Oh, God, I'm going to try to not say the F word. I promised the Facebooks I wouldn't say the F word a lot, which is difficult when you work for Facebook. But I did used to work for Twitter. I used to work for BBDO. I worked for DDB. And I worked for Tribal here in Amsterdam. So I've worked for a lot of really big agencies. But on the flip side, I've also worked for tiny agencies. I did an amazing website to sell fertilizer 20 years ago. Really good conversion on that. And most importantly, I was the president of my marketing club in high school. So, yeah, I know. Impressive who's speaking to you now, right? So, one of the things that really motivates and drives me is doing marketing. I love it. I'm a marketing geek. And I love this quote from Maya Angelou, which says, "My mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive." And I want us to do that in marketing, because what we do actually matters, right? Because that's why we are here today. So, why are we here today? We are here to be better at our profession. We did not haul our butts all the way to Halfweg. Amazing name, Dutch people. Halfway. We're going to name the town Halfway, because we're halfway to Harlem. Wonderful originality. Anyway, we are here at On Brand to be better at our profession. And because when you think about living life, right, what gives you satisfaction, right? Making impact. Pushing a toy car that is not built for snow through the snow and making it work, right? Thinking about how do we actually make impact in our everyday life. So today, what we're going to learn about through all these different talks, including mine, is how can we increase our impact? Right? And that was what I was thinking when they welcomed me to Facebook back in June last year. It was an amazing. I was so excited to start. I said, this is great. It's so awesome to work for Facebook because you get to be on these stages, you get to speak to the top clients, and you get to have impact. And so when I showed up at Facebook, I was greeted by my coworkers. Now, FYI, this is not my coworkers. This is a stock image. I was looking for a group of happy people holding banner, and this is what I found. No one at our office dresses up as a waiter or a doctor. There is a guy that does look like a construction worker, but anyway, they said to me, thank God you're here, Ashley. These creative agencies, they are screwing up the campaigns, and your job as a creative agency partner is to work with them and teach them the right way to do the Facebooks, because our clients are doing such an amazing job, right? It's the creative agencies, and if only you can speak to them, they will be fixed and we can have amazing campaigns again on Facebook. And of course, I said, being from creative agencies, I'm like, do you think I could see the brief that they gave the agency? Because I kind of have a guess of why the agency did the campaign that they did. And the thing that I found is that all the badly performing campaigns had this thing in common, whether you had poor conversion, you had no brand impact, or that you had lame-ass creative, right? Guess what the thing was in common? A really poorly written brief, right? It was a bad brief, and that came from the client to the agencies. And so to me, I'm like, how do we make impact, right? How do we remove the crap, right? And this has for me been my passion for the past year. While I'm teaching a lot of creative, I'm also out there talking to a lot of major clients saying, guys, if you want to really have a great campaign, improve your brief. And I just love that I was able to set a poop emoji on fire. Okay, The other important thing is we are wasting money, right? And for the Dutch people in audience, you don't want to waste money, right? This is not Calvinistic to be inefficient. We want to do the best job we can with the budget that we've had. So let's figure out how to best achieve that. So how do we go from crappy briefs to good briefs? And I found this amazing quote from David Ogilvy, one of the grandfathers of advertising. And he says, big ideas come from the unconscious. This is true in art, in science, and in advertising. But your unconscious has to be well-informed or your idea will be irrelevant. Stuff your conscious mind with information, then unhook your rational thought process, right? And that is really what a brief is, right? That is the way you stuff your head with that information. That is the way that you inspire your agency teams to move forward and do that great work and do that great branding. So if you think about it, agencies are like cannon. Your media agency, your creative agencies, they are like cannons. Wherever you point them, they're going to make a big hole. And that brief is the way that you actually guide that cannon. So if your brief is off, you're going to point the cannon in the wrong direction, and they're certainly going to end up making a big hole, but it won't be what you wanted. So when you think about how do I make a good campaign, how do I start to make good impact, it starts with the most pragmatic, logical thing, and that's the brief. So we have five main areas that I see over and over again in all the hundreds of briefs that I look at from over my career and what I'm seeing now at Facebook of areas that I call opportunities for improvement. And if I'm doing a voiceover on this, I say things that are pretty shitty and we should clean up. Okay. So let's start with kind of the typical brief, right? So we see here we have a business objective. I see this type of thing all the time. Grow awareness of a beer product. Create engagement around a beer brand to drive purchase during barbecue season. Let's target men aged 18 to 49 who are interested in barbecue. Our KPIs, so a variety of KPIs, but for digital, I usually see engagement or followers or 3-second views or 95% view through rate, something like that. And then usually the deliverables in the brief are highly specific. Right, we've got the 15-second, we get a YouTube and tweet and some TV and print. So this is kind of what we see all the time. And on the face of it, you're like, it's not so bad. But let's look at it now. So if we take apart the business objective, right, we want to provide a precise business objective. And if we look at grow awareness of a beer product, and if we can make that more specific to increase incremental sales of beer product by 4.3% year over year for 2020. And when you're thinking about that business objective, think about, you know, if you're the CEO and you're on a call with the shareholders and you're like, what did you achieve this year, CEO? We grew awareness. We grew awareness. It's not going to be impressive. But if they hear that you grew increased sales of your beer by 4.3% year on year, year over year for 2020, that's impressive. So thinking about that business objective, right? Can you make it more specific and actionable? And again, I like to use the analogy of where are you going, right? If you got into a taxi, God knows you couldn't even do an Uber with this, you have to tell them where you're going, right? You could get in and be like, I'll let you know when we're there. Just kind of make a left up here. And that's kind of what happens when you have a vague business objective. You want to use the taxi driver for their expertise, like you want to use your agencies to help get you there in the best possible way. And that comes down to meaning you got to share your business objective. This was the biggest surprise to me, that when I would talk to agencies, I would say, okay, I've seen your client brief, but I don't see what's the ultimate business objective. What are we trying to actually do? And they said, oh, they told us not to worry about it. Don't worry your pretty little head about that business objective. It's just business, right? And so I thought it was really weird that they would want to keep the secret from their agencies. And so basically you want to tell them, where are you going? Again, thinking of the taxi analogy, your agencies are like that taxi. You're telling them where to go, right? No correlation between keeping your business secret and actual campaign success. So business objectives, be precise. Share that business objective, and of course, remember, this is the anchor for your campaign, what you're actually trying to achieve. All right, business objective, done. Now let's talk about the campaign objective, one of the really tricky ones to write. So now, the challenge that we see clients having are, how do you create a focused and achievable campaign objective? Really difficult to do. And so a lot of times I see something like this, create engagement around beer brand to drive purchase during barbecue season. How could we improve that? Let's get more specific. Drive top-of-mind awareness for target consumer when purchasing products for a barbecue during April, September to 2020. Oh my gosh. And you may say, well, I'm not leaving it broad enough. Well, exactly. You want to point that cannon in a specific direction. And what's really interesting is that we've used this a lot is actually the old school SMART technique, right? And if you don't know what that is, it's SMART is an acronym for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. So applying this filter when you're thinking about writing your campaign objective can get you there. And if we look at it, so if we looked at kind of the mediocre one, create engagement around the beer brand to drive purchases during barbecue season, is it specific? No. Create engagement is vague, right? I don't even know what that means. Is that a like? Is that they read the newspaper? I'm not sure. Is it measurable? No. Depending on how we define engagement, it is difficult to measure. Is it achievable? Well, probably not. I don't know. And of course, is it specific? God damn it, is it specific? Realistic, sorry. Don't know how to spell SMART. Is it realistic? So, kind of. Can we actually create engagement? I don't know. And then the timeline. Vague, right? When is barbecue season? And again, if we take something that's written a little stronger, then we're getting more specific. We have top of mind when buying barbecue products. Is that measurable? Yes, you can measure top of mind in so many different kinds of studies. Is it achievable? Yes, of course. This is what advertising does. And is it realistic? Yes, you can do this. And lastly, yes, there is a timeline for barbecue season. We've actually been more specific, April to September. I don't know if that's realistic for the Netherlands. More like June 12th to July 3rd. And the other thing is to think about is that one campaign cannot do it all. So I showed a simplistic one that was as an example. So the other thing I see a lot is this, right? I see this coming into a campaign check. We want to grow awareness, increase brand affinity, drive new purchases, deepen loyalty, create association between brand and awesomeness, app downloads, website visits, and a baby unicorn. And so I see, they're like, oh my God, this is the last brief I'm ever gonna write. I better put everything we need to achieve in it. And you're not gonna end up with a good campaign there, right? You're pointing the cannon all over the place. And so you want to be focused. And you want to figure out, what are we actually trying to achieve? In this case, we wanna make our product top of mind. So again, thinking, using that SMART filter, and are we actually focusing that? So again, be smart. Use that methodology to help define your campaign objective. Again, keep it focused. Are you asking too much in one brief from your agencies to achieve? And of course, you have to think about, am I tying back to the business objective? Now, of course, top of mind isn't necessarily going to be like that increases sales, but a lot of times you know that if we do top of mind, we know that that leads to sales, therefore it ties to the business objective. Okay, target audience, guys. I'm gonna talk about the algorithm, so pay attention. Okay, so one of the challenges here is defining the right target audience. I hear this all the time, like, who the hell are we going to target? And this becomes especially tricky on digital. So I see this a lot. I see really age-based, gender-based type things. Men aged 18 to 49 who are interested in barbecue. All right. I would be bold and say people for whom our product could be relevant. Oh my God, she just made it so broad. She's gonna waste all our money. And there's a reason for this, right? Now, if we go back to the Ultimate Marketing Bible, How Brands Grow by Byron Sharp, one of the key takeaways from that is continuously reach all potential buyers of that category, right? This is something that he says. Now, you're sitting here going, yeah, that's awesome if you have unlimited budget and unlimited time. Yes, of course I would love to do that. And this is where one of the things with digital comes in to help you. Right? So digital campaigns have the advantage of using signal marketing and their algorithms to help you find your target audience. Oh my God. And so, I don't know how many of you know about signal marketing, but essentially what a signal is, and on Facebook, there's over 500,000 signals that we're actually reading in, and this isn't just Facebook doing it, the Googles are doing it, the Twitters are doing it as well, and we're looking at things like the website visits, store visits, app installs, purchases, and then we also look at other data here, right? So we're looking, what did people search on? What did they actually spend time watching? Were they watching a 6-second video in the morning? Were they watching something longer? Were they making purchases? So we use all these signals that we're getting from across all the different variables to actually use machine learning to feed our algorithm. And to put it more simply, that's Facebook, right? That's the ad objective, right? That is what our algorithm is actually doing. It is trying to chase and find that ad objective of what you actually wanted it to do, right? Go get that audience. Go get it. Yeah, get it. Good boy. All right. So think about that, right? How are you focusing that? So it's actually trying to do what you want. But again, it's how you guide it. How are you going to guide? Are you going to let that dog off the leash, or are you going to control it? And this is one of many, hundreds of slides that we have about this topic. And by the way, I will try to post this up on SlideShare on LinkedIn, so if I can show these things. But the basic gist from this is that, yes, if you do a smaller precise audience, right, if you get hyper-targeted on here, yes, you have more of a lift, but if you target broadly, you actually get more people, right, for the same money, for the exact same budget. And this is where signal marketing and leveraging the algorithm can really help you find a different target audience. We could really go to Byron Sharp of continuously reach all the people in that category. So if you think about it, don't go so specific when you're in digital on these target audiences. And this isn't just for Facebook. This is true for Facebook and for Twitter as well. And one of our teams out of London put this together as an example. And he showed two different campaigns. And so on the left, we had one campaign where we said, we want to reach everyone. That's our objective. We're gonna target 20 to 40-year-olds. And then on the right, we did a campaign where we said, no, they got to watch the video. We're going to force them to watch that video, right? We're going to make that dog get video views. And then our targeting was 20 to 40-year-olds. And then, you know, just for fun, we said, and they have to be interested in Gucci, right? We had a budget of 50,000 pounds. We ran it 2 times a week for 4 weeks. Guess what happened? 10 million people were reached with the more broad targeting, 2.7. Now, of course, I can hear some of you saying, well, that's because we know that people that are interested in Gucci are more likely to buy. I'd rather reach those 2.7 people that are more relevant to my audience. But I would beg to differ. First of all, Facebook may not know that you're into Gucci. We just only found a few people that are, right? And second of all, even if half of that 10 million audience isn't even really relevant to you, that's fine. The algorithm will eventually start delivering the ads to the right person. That's how it's designed. It's like a little dog. It's designed to chase that ball. It's not going to keep exposing it to the wrong audience. Again, for Facebook, for Google, for Twitter, we want to show the best bang for the dollar when you spend with us. And what we do that by is by using the algorithm to make sure the ad gets to the right person that is getting you what you want. So, use those algorithms, use these digital platforms to help you find audiences. Because a lot of times when I'm looking at these briefs, clients have gone so hyper-specific in their brief, they've actually cut out a whole swath of people that could be part of their brand and buy their product. And one of the best examples I've seen of this is from the brand Nude, lovely Dutch name, N-U-U-D. And they made a cream deodorant. And so they made all these three different ads. They actually made dozens of ads, but these are kind of three ads here. And so the first one you see is like a vegan message. It's all natural. It's talking about vegans loving Nude. It's cruelty-free. And then the second one you see is more of a general. We can see the product being used by men and women. And then you kind of got this dude that's a random dancer, right? Kind of an interesting mix of ads. And usually, the traditional media agency, when they would get this, or the traditional creator, would be like, we're going to target vegans, right? We're going to check that box, people interested in vegans and Bernie Sanders. And then we're going to have the general, right? We'll maybe do that to a male, female, and then, I don't know, people interested in dancing, right? But what Nude did that was so smart is they targeted a really broad audience because they knew that the algorithm would actually find which ad resonated best with their audience, right? And they're right, because I love things that are dead, right? I love to eat red meat, the bloodier the better. When I saw that damn vegan message, I thought, wow, if a vegan would put this on their body, then it's definitely safe, right? That was a key selling point. You would have missed out on that USP for me if you thought, well, we're only targeting vegans, right? And this is ultimately that the algorithm, these 500,000 signals or more, know more about your target audience and who's going to resonate with your ad than you do. I'm sorry, the machine is smarter. They're taking over. So think about this as casting a wide net. And of course, when you cast a wide net, a lot of times you're going to get things that you didn't want. But you're also going to get a lot of things you didn't even plan that you could get. So consider that. So target audience. Check your audience assumptions, really. If you're possible, go as broad as possible. Use digital as part of that. So all of the digital platforms have this type of technology that can help find your audience. Of course, don't go too niche. Remember the example I showed you of an interest in Gucci? How can you, are you making yourself too niche and not reaching all the right people? And of course, don't make assumptions about who likes what creative. Put a variety of creative out to different people. Even meat eaters like vegan ads. That could have been my takeaway. Meat eaters like vegan ads. All right. My favorite topic, key performance indicators. So, another challenge, right? How do we actually set KPIs that are showing actual brand impact? And this is a huge struggle for so many clients. Like, what the hell are we gonna measure to know that we achieved it, right? And so for digital, I think we've gone down a bit of a rabbit hole, right? Because suddenly we have all this data and all this information, and so we start setting different things, and I see all the time engagement or grow followers or 3-second views, or there'll be some sort of random view-through rate on a video. And what I would say is that let's find an actual way to measure it that's real. And so for Facebook, we have brand lift studies, the Googles and the Twitters have their studies, and I would rather measure what we were trying to achieve, which was top of mind awareness. Which of the following brands come to mind when you think of barbecue, right? Because if we do a survey and we get results and we get this data back, we actually see a movement in the consumer's mind. And the reason for this and is that we have a ton of data like this. So basically what this chart is showing is that engagement, clicks, likes, engagement, shares show no correlation to Lyft for like a CPG brand, right? It's kind of scary. So what we're saying is that just because you got a lot of likes, it doesn't mean that you achieved anything. And this is so hard. And it's not just this research. We have this. We have this research. We have that research. We have tons of research showing that none of these metrics that you're using, these proxy metrics to gauge success, actually correlate to any brand outcomes. And I see a lot of media buys like this. So this is kind of, now I made this one up myself. You can tell by the wonderful brand Woo Wobbler. It was very late when I made that name. And so a lot of times we'll walk into a meeting, it'll be the creative agency, and maybe we're there, and there'll be the media agency and client. We're like, well, let's look and see which creative performed the best. And I always challenged the media. I said, seriously, looking at these numbers, which one actually achieved a brand outcome? Was it that TVC you tried to run on mobile? Was it that random idea Bob had? What tells me here is the fact that they had a 90% view-through rate indicative of having impact on the brand. And I would think about it this way. So if you had, let's say, a KPI of 95% view-through rate, which if you're doing that, you're insane. And then that means that the creative would actually make, let's say, a 60-second video, right, out of that, and they have to get that. That means that you're trying to judge the success of that video on them viewing 57 seconds of time. And so suddenly you're starting to chase this weird ball. But then if you think about it, all right, let's say someone did watch 57 seconds of my brand video. Does that mean you made impact? Does that mean they walked away with top of mind awareness? Do you actually know? Maybe they watched 3 seconds and they got the message. And this is one of the biggest things you have to ask yourself when you're setting your KPIs. Am I just looking at proxies hoping they mean something? Or do they actually mean something relevant to my brand? And that's why you're looking when you're setting your KPIs is you want to measure it for real impact, right? And there's tons of ways to do that. So at the Facebooks, we have brand lift studies, right? Where we have a test group, we have a control group, we expose the ads, not expose the ads, and we actually see what happens. This is one way that we do it. And there's tons of different ways to do it, right? We have a lot of measurement study options. Google has their study, Twitter has their study. So there's a lot of ways to actually do real measurement on the platform versus using a view-through rate, for instance. So at the end of the day, think about moving away from proxies, right? Your number of views, your clicks, your engagements, your likes really don't correlate to anything that we see in our research. Set real KPIs. Set measurements that you can actually measure with real data. And then lastly, of course, use the right measurement tools. Find the right third-party tool or a tool that's native to our platforms to help measure if your campaign was actually a success. All right, last, deliverables. What the hell are we gonna make? So this is another thing. So a lot of times I see clients struggling. They're like, okay, I need to tell the agencies what we're gonna make. I need to tell them right away what actual things I need them to build. And so we see in there, all right, we want a 15-second Facebook, you know, Instagram feed ad. We want an Instagram story, pre-roll tweets, you know, and a TV ad and a print ad and a pony and all these different things we put in there. And I would challenge all the clients to, before you actually say what you want to make, figure out who your audience is. Where are they? What are they doing? Where are they spending their time? They may not be on Instagram, okay, you guys? It's true. There are some people that aren't on Instagram. And so you don't want to be building for things where your audience isn't. And you want to think starting with people first, right? If you do a brief, think about your audience first. And that means you may not be able to define that in the brief. That may mean you need to go to your agencies and say, help me figure out where my audience is spending their time. Are they watching television? Are they doing print? Are they in Facebook, right? And a lot of that comes from, when we're defining this, is that we have this thing, what I call medium-first thinking, right? That we write the brief, and then we say, oh, okay. I just got to get that damn TV ad out of the way, and then from that, I'll make a print ad. Oh, shit, forgot about mobile. I'm going to add that. And then I make digital, and then maybe I shove it onto mobile, right? Because we start thinking it's that we're starting from a TV mindset. And what I propose is that we look at doing our brief, that we stop and we think about what are people thinking, feeling, doing, right? And then we develop our campaign for what those people are doing. And maybe that ends up being a TV ad, a mobile execution, some kind of print, or something else digital, right? So we thought first, we stopped and we said, let's do some research before we waste our budget. And I caution you, because I keep seeing this. I keep seeing, like, well, here's the TV ad, it's the big idea. This is our hero. And it's not a hero, it's an execution. There's nothing wrong with doing a television ad, but do not mistake it for your core campaign idea. It's an execution. And you can't try to iterate from a TV ad to try to go on Facebook, or you can't iterate from a TV ad to try to make a billboard. You have to make the idea fit the medium. And I'll give a good example here with this lovely German ad from Beck's, huge popular beer here in the Netherlands. And we can see, so this is kind of old. So Beck's, back in the day, they said, yes, we're going to run our 30-second ad here in horizontal format because we wanted to waste all our money. And then being Germans and efficient, they realized, no, that doesn't work. So then they tried to take that same TV ad and then they made it into, you know, you hear all the time from Facebook, cut it down to a 10. Cut it down to a 10 and make it fit. Okay, so they did that, right? And of course, it was kind of crappy here and then it was less crappy. And it's true, at Facebook, if you take your really crappy 30-second ad and you make it 10 seconds, it performs less crappy, right? But that's not our ambition. We don't want to be less crappy. And this should be our ambition. So let's take a look. This is a couple-year-old Super Bowl ad that ran in the United States.
No, it's not a joke. Listen, I'm trying to start a menswear line, a fashion line, and you have the domain johnmalkovich.com, which I very much need. Yeah, you think when people contact johnmalkovich.com, they're actually looking for you, or maybe they're looking for me. Listen. I really, get out of my name! John Malkovich hung up. JohnMalkovich.com has a temper.
So, awesome, right? You got John Malkovich in an ad. Imagine if you just kind of thrown that up and just throw it up onto a mobile phone, right? Instead, what they did is like, I got John Malkovich on set. So they shot some content thinking about their audience in a mobile phone, right? No one wants to watch a TV ad on a mobile phone, but they thought, how can I make content that's fit for mobile?
What the f-
then you see how that big idea translated into the right medium, how it worked in a TV ad, how it worked on mobile. And I haven't seen the print, but again, how do you translate that big idea into the right medium for your audience? And some quick research on here is, why do we do this? Let's just say, okay, why am I taking the time to actually make something for a different medium? And when it comes to making stuff for mobile, we did all these ads here, and then on the bottom, you know, we see the bottom quadrant there. That's the stuff that was the 30-second Bex ad, right, the TV ad. Then, you know, people optimize, right? Okay, so we ended up with a little bit better brand recall, a little more view time there in the upper left if we make it vertical. But then the sweet spot where we got the best results came from that upper quadrant, meaning we made creative for the actual mobile phone. We had an idea that was built for that, and that makes total sense. It's sad that we had to do research to prove this, because if you think about it, if you took a screenshot of your TV ad and threw it up on a billboard, it probably wouldn't work, right? And if you took your billboard ad and you put it into a printout, it probably wouldn't translate as well. And it's the same thing. You can't take other stuff designed for medium and throw it up and expect it to have impact. It's about really focusing that and getting that work out of your teams and out of your brief. So thinking about that, you want to have creative that fits the medium, right? Because that's going to drive your campaign performance. And you know what medium you need when you actually sit back and you define your audience and you don't start defining your deliverables. So again, focus on people first. Avoid TV-first thinking. I know that we love this idea of a hero, but it's not a hero. It's really limiting what we can build as a brand. And then, of course, build for the medium, right? Make the creative match the medium in which your consumer is experiencing it. So, let's put it all together. Now, I'm gonna show the chart. This will be the photo moment here. So, wanted to warn you in advance. So how do we go from typical brief, right? So these are some different ways. I'm not going to go over all of this, but this is how we can make small tweaks, right? How do we get better results? If we change, if we get more specific on our business objective, if we do a better job on campaign, all of these little tweaks are relatively easy to make. We just have to put the time in, right? We have to change the way that we're doing it now. We have to stop pulling out our old PowerPoints and Word docs and saving as and only changing the date. We have to do more. We got to invest that time. So for you, it's about how do you want to make that change happen? And the thing is, it doesn't have to be hard, right? What I'm talking about is super pragmatic. I don't need an inspiring AR for the vision, Oculus headset type thing to make this happen, right? It's merely taking the time to be thoughtful about what you're writing in your brief. And agencies, challenge your clients. Push back on them. If the brief is retarded, tell them so, please. I see so many agencies not speaking up. It is your job. That's why they hired you. Push back. Because at the end of the day, none of us woke up and hauled our butts here to Hofweg to be mediocre, right? We want to be better at our profession. So remember, business objective, clear, measurable business objective. Campaign objective, make it focused and smart. Your KPIs, set KPIs that actually show real impact. Target audience, revisit how you think about your target audiences. And lastly, think people first before you start defining your deliverables. And I will end on this from one of my beloved Walt Disney. The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing. And I will quit talking. Thank you.